O magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Friday, November 20th, 2015, 6 days away from Thanksgiving, Jason. Can you believe it?
I can,
yes. Yeah, all the hustle and bustle that's going on. And actually, I want to jump right into two quick announcements. This coming Monday, so a few days away, we're launching the Great News Radio Theater Troupe. We're going to have rehearsals started at the First Baptist Church of Champaign in Savoy, and they'll begin at 7 p.m. And the commitment for the presentation, the debut of the Great News Radio Theater Troupe, is just about 6 or 7 rehearsals. For some, it might be as few as 4 or 5, but we'll be gathering on Monday nights in preparation for the December 19th debut at Marketplace Mall. We're looking for some actors and actresses, different ages, some men to play wise men, and some other roles, and then some women, and also some children. So if you're interested at all in knowing more about how you can be a part of this new Great News Radio Theater Troupe, call the station at 217-367-7777 or stop by our website, greatnewsradio.org, and you'll see a theater troupe link, and there's a posting right there on the webpage that has a questionnaire and other information on the very specific roles that we need people to fulfill for our presentation on the 19th of December. So it's going to be an exciting time, and we can't wait to debut this new ministry that we feel God has raised up for such a time as this. So that'll all be happening beginning on Monday night with the start of rehearsal. And then actually, Jason, tomorrow's the special day. It's remembering Dr. Paul Yardy, and he's lived in our area for some years, and I'm going to have you read a few things about him. But let me do a shout out for his beloved wife, Jessie. I've known for a few years. She's somebody that I think many churches have someone like this, a core saint that loves the Lord, walks with great poise and presence. You want to be around her because she's filled with the Spirit and just a lovely smile. And if somebody that's like an encourager, that'd come up to the pastor, and the pastor would always look forward to seeing this person or being hugged by him. She's just been a senior saint for so many years. And on this special day, she and her family are remembering their beloved father and dad and husband, Paul Yardy. And they served on the mission field. And there's a lot of different things to say about them. And tomorrow's the actual dedicated day, but I want to honor them today during this, the Friday edition of Mark and Friends.
Yeah, it says here that Paul Yardy had a call from God when he was a teenager to be a medical missionary. He went to Seattle Pacific College and later was awarded an honorary doctorate. He enlisted in the Navy during World War II and attended medical school at the University of Colorado. In 1950, at the young age of 27, Paul and Jesse and their two children left for India. After they did a language study, they moved to central India and established the Umri Christian Hospital with the vision of providing quality medical care and the message of Jesus Christ. Paul served with distinction as administrator and medical superintendent there for 14 years. Umri Christian Hospital continues today as a thriving medical campus and nursing school with a strong message of Jesus Christ. Paul and Jesse returned to the U.S. in 1965 with their 6 children. They grew by 4. Paul continued to the call of God as he worked as a staff physician and assistant professor of health services at the University of Illinois, and then started a family practice program at Carl Clinic. Together, they led many series of family living seminars. They also served with medical missions in Rwanda for 4 years in the 1980s. Throughout Dr. Yardley's adult life, he used his organizational and leadership skills in sharing Jesus' love in charitable and medical services. His life is well described by the theme song that he chose for Umri Christian Hospital, Others. Lord, help me to live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. The chorus goes, others, Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be, help me to live for others, that I may live like thee. Help me in all the work I do to be sincere and true, and know that all I do for you must needs be done for others. Let self be crucified and slain and buried deep and all in vain. May efforts be to rise again, unless to live for others. And when my work on earth is done, and my new work in heaven's begun, may I forget the crown I've won, while thinking still of others.
Remember, in Dr. Paul Yardy, actually tomorrow's his dedicated day, but we wanted to get in a good shout out for his lovely wife, Jessie, and their family. And they're just very involved in the community. And Paul has just left a great legacy through his children and his wife. So we appreciate the Yardy family and dedicating tomorrow's broadcast to the glory of God. And thanks for the financial support. So, yeah, it just reminds me again of like Tuesday's broadcast, the senior saints that finish well. And just our heart's desire, Jason, I know it's true for you, is that, Lord, we can walk in step with your Spirit day by day, and week by week, month by month, year by year, and just in our later years, still be passionate and excited about sharing the good news message of Jesus. So I pray that it'd be true for all of us today.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, just the idea and the concept of others, you know, as we're walking through the book of Acts and as we're thinking about the book of Acts and the mission that the disciples and the apostles were on, particularly, you know, in the latter half of the book of Acts, it's really a concentration on Paul. But Paul's mission, you know, and I think that when we read the book of Acts, we really center in on Paul. So it becomes about his apostolic ministry. So we're looking and we're like, Paul, 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 Paul. But if you were to insert yourself into the text, if you were to insert yourself into the moments where you're saying Paul, 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 Paul would continually be talking about others, because that's what Paul's ministry is. Paul endures all these trials of various kinds because of others. Paul is enduring these things, these hardships and ministries because of others. As we come to today's text and he gathers the Ephesian elders around and begins to tear and weep, and the stories that are being told are the stories of others. You know, the preaching, I didn't hesitate to declare unto you, the whole counsel of God is centered around others. That's who he was preaching the whole counsel of God to. He wasn't preaching it to, you know, those who were already redeemed and already saved and all that. He was preaching, yes, to them. I don't want to exclude them, because he was going to the churches and encouraging and bolstering them. But he was preaching to the others, to those outside the circle. And it just makes me think about, you know, what do we look like to the world? I mean, you know, just in memory of, I mean, we'll do a left turn here, in memory of Dr. Paul Yardley. I mean, what do we look like to the others? How are we portrayed to the others? Do we look like Jesus, or do we look like some sort of religious version of Jesus that calls itself the church? You know, there's something that I was thinking about even this morning as I was driving in, Mark, that we should have a desire as we meet other people to look more like Jesus. And instead, I think what we do is, I wrote down here in my notebook, we act like the church and we're misunderstood by the others. Mm-hmm. Because those others don't understand church. They don't understand those things. We get around other people and we speak that kind of Christianese, you know, that they don't have any idea what we're saying. We have like this interior language that we speak, and people are like, what are you talking about? But I think that sometimes we are afraid that if we act like Jesus, we'll be misunderstood by the church. Mm-hmm. Because I think that largely Jesus is misunderstood by the church. And Jesus, when you have to kind of take Jesus almost even out of his gospel content and enlarge him to the content of all of Scripture, because Jesus is part of the Trinity, part of God, and therefore his presence is felt throughout the whole Scripture. I was reading earlier this week the book of Hosea, and I was thinking about the book of Hosea and God in his grace and his mercy. How interesting that I would read that and then come here and have those thoughts swirling around in my mind. But in the book of Hosea, you've got Hosea, who is a wonderful prophet, who is called by God, who's respected. And God says, I want you to go marry that harlot, Gomer. I want you to go marry her. And unlike Jonah, who hears that message from God, go preach to Nineveh, and runs the other direction, Hosea marries her. And I don't want to be too hard on the others, but Gomer was an other. Gomer was somebody who didn't fit the mold. Gomer was somebody who didn't fit what you would think God's people should look like, what you think that those people who are going to be redeemed by God should look like. Gomer would have been one of those people who would say to you, when you shared with them the good news of Jesus Christ, would say, well, I really like the idea of Jesus, but I got to get a little more cleaned up before I can come to him. And God, in his loving kindness here in Hosea, doesn't wait for Gomer to get cleaned up. He sends himself through somebody, through an ambassador, somebody who's going to reflect to Gomer. And somebody who is obedient to work outside the bounds of what they believe it should look like. I mean, if somebody said to us, we want you to go minister, that's why we would read Dr. Yardley's biography here, and we would go, wow. I mean, God put a call in his life to go to India. I mean, I'd be scared to go to India. I don't know if I could go to India. And then he went to Rwanda, and I've heard about things that happened in Rwanda. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'd go to Rwanda. And so God was looking for a man, looking for somebody who would answer the call to go and minister to the others in difficult places, in the fringes of darkness, in the fringes of almost being unaccepted. But in the same way, unaccepted in the way that we would later esteem them. And that's what happens with Hosea. God says, God, I want you to go to the fringe of darkness. I want you to go so far out there that you're going to marry a harlot. And you're going to do it for my glory. By the way, you're going to have kids who exude the ways that my people have left me. But I'm doing all this that I might call you back, that you might come back. I love, as we read this, the focus of this hospital that he has is Jesus Christ. Because as you go out into the fringes of darkness, the message has to be that God has come. I mean, that has to be the message. I heard a gentleman who preached on the book of Hosea, and he said, we have that song, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling, O sinner, come home. And do we, when we go to people, do we, when we encounter the other people, do we bring the message softly and tenderly? Jesus is calling. Do we look like Jesus in a way that when we come, they know that the good news has come to them? That it isn't about when you get cleaned up enough, you get to come here. It's about that you can never get cleaned up good enough and God has come to you. Because as we get ready for Advent, that's the message of Advent. Mm-hmm. You could never clean yourself up good enough, so God came to you. And he came in the flesh in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ as a baby to make war against sin and against death and to deliver us from those things that would seek to bind us. And so that takes us right into the book of Acts, because that's what Paul is doing. Paul is ministering to the others.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. He knew the value of the others because of looking at them through God's lenses. So he was willing to be imprisoned, to be battered, to be beaten, to be broken, to go without because he wanted to serve others. And so it's valuing those others too. Sometimes we may look down on them or discard them, and we're really wrong. We're in sin when we do that.
Well, and I think that you just uncovered the problem, Mark, and the problem is that we'll find our value in the others. So maybe as a church you say, we want to serve these poor people because we want other people to know that this is what we do.
Yeah.
That's the wrong motivation. Or we want to be a church that's just all about this, because then we'll have some of those people sit in here and we can validate that we're about this. No. It's about valuing God and seeing God up and above everything else. And when you do that, you will see that God values the others. I mean, Jesus is emphatic. I came to seek and to save the lost. And so Jesus is emphatic about the other. Jesus is emphatic about the people who don't know who he is, who don't know his grace and his glory. Why? Because he's jealous for his glory. He loves his glory. And more people worshiping him magnifies his glory. And so God wants us to seek after the others, but not because the others are of value to us, because the others are of value to him. And that's what led Paul to do the amazing things that he did. That's what made him so tenacious that they stoned him. And he got back up and walked back into the city and said, there's more others. I got some more others to preach to. I mean, could you do that? I mean, just I've seen people, and I've had it happen in my own life, where you go and you share the gospel with somebody, and it is so difficult that you don't know if you're ever going to share the gospel again. You share the gospel, and it goes so poorly that you're like, oh, I guess that's just, I'm not called to share the gospel.
Or you're looking at your shoes going, I'm going to shake the dust off of my feet. They don't deserve to hear it again.
I mean, totally. I mean, you feel that way. And look at that is, that's the wrong motivation. Paul lost a lot. I mean, as Paul was preaching the gospel, he has all kinds of places where it doesn't work out right, where it doesn't work well. And that's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4 that I didn't come with wise and persuasive words, but a demonstration of the power of the Spirit. And therefore, if you're offended, you're offended by the Spirit and not by me. And I'm going to keep pressing in because God sees the others up and above and with great importance. And so God wants to send us to the others. And so praise God for Dr. Yardley for going out and ministering in a place that many of us wouldn't go. Mm-hmm. For being courageous in that way. And the courageous thing was not the great ministry that he did. The courageous thing was listening and answering the call of God. Mm. Because for you listening today, maybe the courageous thing for you to do will be go over to that neighbor that you have been like, well, I don't want to offend him. I don't want to share the gospel with him in that way. I don't want to knock on their door and bother them. No. You know what? We need to be about a little more bothering of our neighbors. We need to become a little bit more bothersome. Now, not in the way where you frustrate them and they lock their door and they turn all the lights off when they see you pull in the driveway of your house. But we need to bother them in a way that we want to show them that their lives have value to us, that we want to love them and to get to know them, that we actually take an interest. Look, don't show up at somebody's house and go, hey, do you know who Jesus Christ is? Because then when you show up in that kind of a manner, you might be the same as those guys who knock on your doors on the Saturday wearing the black suits and the white shirts. Mm. But if you knock on their door and you say, hey, you know what, I just wanted to introduce myself and let you know who I am, and I'm so glad we live on the same block together. And, you know, we'd love to have you come over sometime and maybe have some pie or, you know, whatever your thing is, cupcakes or cookies or dinner or whatever it is. You know, we're going to be grilling out in the back. We'd love for you to come by and grab a hot dog. You don't even have to stay. You can just eat our food and leave. But we just want to let you know that we love you. And it'll be crazy. It'll be crazy. But you know what? Those are the kinds of crazy things that Jesus did. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus didn't say, well, I'm going to be grilling hot dogs. Come, but Jesus would say, all who are weary and burdened, come to me. You know, and that's kind of a crazy statement to make because everybody's wearied and burdened. That means everybody would be like, hey, Jesus, here we come.
Or it might say, hey, I noticed you needed some wine in this wedding. But I was thinking when you said go to our neighbor, hey, I noticed that you had a lot of leaves in your yard. Do you mind if I help rake some up? And just, I mean, you know, after their mouth dropped open and you went out and did that, they might say, I got to invite this person in. You know, why would they do something like that?
Right. And even further, I'm going to say this because I got four kids, that there are a lot of us who have kids and grandkids who are sitting on the couch and they're just playing video games and they're whittling their time away, staring blindly into that box. Now, I'm not a big fan of TV because I know what it can kind of suck the life out of me and rob me of hours of time. So you get these kids sitting on the couch. Why don't you say to them, you know what? Hey, those people down there, why don't we go rake their leaves real quick? Why don't you go rake their leaves? Why don't we teach our kids how to serve and to love our neighbors also? Instead of what I see a lot of people teaching their kids to do, and this might be a hard pill to swallow, is we're teaching our kids that it's okay to sit on the couch. We're teaching our kids that it's okay to play video games all day. And we're teaching our kids to go entertain themselves so that we can have our time. Instead of teaching our kids how to sacrificially love and serve their neighbors. Because kids have all kinds of energy and all kinds of time. I remember when I was a kid, there was this little old woman who lived next door, and she was probably in her 90s, 80s or 90s. In fact, she was a young girl when the house that we lived in was being built. And the woman who lived in the house and her were great friends. They grew up together. But I remember that we moved into the house and, you know, we introduced ourselves to her and she ingratiated herself to us and it was really great. She was super sweet. And the first day I'm out there mowing the lawn and my dad said, from now on, I want you always to make sure you mow her lawn.
Hmm.
And I said, well, I saw her son out there mowing it. He goes, I don't care. He goes, you mow her lawn. Her lawn's connected to our lawn. Her life can be. And listen, my dad wasn't really a Christian. But my dad knew the value of our yards are connected. Our lives should be connected. Hmm. And one of the greatest ways we can do that is to take the extra 15 or 20 minutes and knock out a couple lines in her yard and mow it and take care of it. And I'm going to tell you what, it was first time I did it. She said, you didn't have to do that. And it built bridges to where, you know, she would make us hats. She'd knit us up some hats and some gloves. And, you know, it's kind of awkward because I think I was like 16 with mittens because she made me mittens. And I'm going, I don't wear mittens. I'm 16. But so sweet and so wonderful. And I guess the point is really that we have these kids. And look at the greatest piece of Dr. Yardley's testimony and legacy lives on when we pass this. It's not that we celebrate it necessarily here on the radio, although we should, because you guys need to hear this. It needs to be the kind of the air war. But also that we would tell this story to our kids. You know, when I go home, probably one of the things that I'll say is I'll say, hey, you know what, guys? Today we recorded a radio program, and during that radio program, there was a guy who passed away, and he, from like 1950, when he was 27, heard God's voice, and he went like out into India and formed a hospital that's still going today. And that hospital not only helps people with their physical healing, but they are also healing people spiritually with the message of Jesus Christ. That's a great story that we can tell. That's a great story that we can tell our kids. I heard a great story today, son. You want to hear it? Because you know what? The world wants to tell our kids all kinds of other stories. Why don't we start telling them a great story that's connected to the greatest story ever, which is Jesus Christ?
And many a story is recounted in this book of Acts that we'll
never get through.
That we'll continue to look at in the days ahead and celebrate and glean truths and find points of application and serve the Lord in a unique way as we read His Word and as we commune with Him, as we pray to Him, as we worship Him. And I just appreciate God's Word that's always timeless. And it never returns void or empty, so there's always a purpose when we read it, when we study it, when we talk about it, when we hear it read.
Yeah, and so we would just close today by committing the greatest thing we could to Dr. Paul Yardley, which would be the Word of God. And we want to commend the words of the Apostle Paul, because I think they ring true in Dr. Yardley's life, which says, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day I set foot, serving the Lord Jesus Christ with all humility, with tears and trials that happened to me through the different various plots, and then how I did not shrink back from declaring to you everything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house and testifying of repentance and faith in Christ towards God."
Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. And if some of you tuned in at the front end of this morning's program, you heard the appeal for needing artists and actors for our Great News Radio Theater Troupe. Rehearsals will begin on Monday night at 7 p.m. at the First Baptist Church of Champaign in Savoy. If you need more information, just call the station, or you can stop by our website, greatnewsradio.org. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day, night, and weekend.
Precious memories, unseen angels, stay.